let's pray and let's get this started. And we'll turn it over to Brother Chris to share the word and give us our devotion this morning. And after he's finished, we'll finish up with Amazing Grace, which I know everybody knows. So just let's bow our heads. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together this weekend. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord. We want to lift you up and praise you this morning and exalt your name, Lord Jesus. And just thank you, Lord, for bringing all of these people together. You know, we don't ever know who's going to come in this room or who might hear the message that you would want us to deliver. But, Lord, we just pray that you will open ears and hearts and minds today. Lord, we pray for a safe passage back home today, for our meeting this morning, for our safe trip back home today, and for everyone to take moments in their lives and their day to find those blessings that you give us. Because, Lord, you bless us every single minute of every single day. We just have to look for those blessings. And finally, Lord, help us to focus and be quiet sometimes and listen to your guidance. Lord, we know you do things in your time, and maybe sometimes we want things before you do. So help us, Lord, to be patient with you and to wait for you in your time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Well, I'm glad everybody is here this morning. Here, give me that mic, Tammy. This one doesn't. This one. I appreciate it, Susan. We're good at the moment. All right. Here, now you can hear me. I don't have to bend over and stoop to the microphone. You know, this weekend we've been getting together and we've talked about, and Dr. Maurer talked yesterday a lot about fairness and equality. But is there another word that you can think of that would describe fairness and equality? How about justice? Isn't that justice when we get treated fairly and we all get treated equally? You know, we tend to think of justice in a negative way, but there is that positive aspect to it. So, you know, in a way, we've been talking about justice all weekend. But I'm going to go to the other side of it. And, you know, justice, in my opinion, put simply, it's getting what you deserve. If you get justice, you get what you deserve, whether that's good or bad. You know, and as I was putting this together, actually while I was sitting around last night thinking about things, like I had a lot of time to do that. you know, we're taught in the Bible, and we're taught, at least from children, I was taught this, that our God is a God of wrath and a God of vengeance and a God of love. You know, when you combine wrath, vengeance, and love, you get justice, in my opinion. Oh, by the way, I want to say good morning to everybody online. Anybody that's out there streaming, we're glad you're here this morning. Michael's doing a great job of streaming this morning, so we're reaching more than just you guys. So, you know, God is a God of love and a God of vengeance, but that equals justice. And the Bible tells us that God is just. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, "The rock, his word is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." So not only is the Bible telling us in this verse that he's just, and he treats everybody fairly, he does it faithfully, and he does it unchangingly. That's why he's called the rock in that verse. But the bad side of justice is we're all in favor of justice, aren't we? Except when? When are we not in favor of justice? When it's on us. When it's our turn to suffer our punishment, we're not into justice. We want a little bit of something else that we'll get to. You know, but we all deserve that justice, and we all deserve certain things. You know, in Romans 3:23, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Therefore, we all deserve justice. You know, and we see God meeting out justice throughout the Old Testament from the very beginning. You know, when Adam and Eve disobeyed, he meted out justice. He put them out of the garden. When Cain slain Abel, he meted out justice. You know, he put a mark on Cain's forehead and banished him to far away. But at the same time, he meets out mercy. What is mercy? Anybody have a definition for mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve when it comes to punishment. Mercy is when we get treated without that justice that we deserve. You know, and God had mercy on Adam and Eve that even though they disobeyed his commands, he didn't kill them. Even though the Bible tells us in many places, you know, that the penalty for murder is death, he didn't kill Cain, he just banished Cain and put a mark on him. But also out of God's love and mercy, he told Cain that nobody will harm you. Anybody that harms you has to suffer the wrath of God. So there's that mercy to God, and he's always there, and he always gives us that mercy. You know, because, quite frankly, we need mercy because we're just imperfect, not like he is. You know, and he shows us that mercy not only in the examples of Cain and Abel. If we go to Romans 6:23, does anybody know what that verse says?
The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life.
Exactly. So there's that mercy. The justice is there, the wages of sin is death. But there's also that mercy, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if we're all sinners, then we all deserve death. That's the wages of sin. That's what we get. But God has that mercy for us, and he gives us that forgiveness. He provides that way. I know Brian will get it if I say, you know, it's hard to reconcile justice and mercy. But God manages to do that, and he does that simply because, you know, we don't understand how God does everything. But he does that because there is a payment for that justice. There is the payment of those wages. You know, Hebrews 9:22 tells us, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So, you know, if we all deserve death and we're all sinners and we all have earned that wage, you know, because that's all you can do is you can earn a wage. Nobody gives you a wage. It's earned. If they give it to you, it's a gift, like the gift of eternal life. If we all deserve that, then the fact that we don't get it is God, evidence of God's mercy. And that brings us to grace. What is grace? Anybody? Right. Tony hit my definition right on the head. It's when you get what you don't deserve. You know, we don't deserve eternal life. We deserve death because we are all sinners. You know, if we stay in Romans chapter 3 in verse 24 and 25, actually I'm going to read 23 to start with. So we go back to Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But it continues, "And we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his design tolerance, divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins." You know, I think those three verses together really define the gospel. We are sinners. We deserve death. But God loves us enough that by his grace, what we don't deserve as a gift, we get paid. You know, the wages of sin is death, and by all forgiveness is through the shedding of blood. Christ Jesus went and he shed his blood for us. That's what that word propitiation means. You know, this is the only place I've ever seen the word propitiation written. And the only place I've ever heard that word used is in church. It means a substitution. Christ went to the cross for us. He shed his blood instead of our blood. So our sins are paid for. We get that forgiveness. That's the grace of God. That's really what the gospel is all about. It's about we get free forgiveness, and all we have to do is trust in God and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And rose. And you know, there's nothing that we can do to earn that. You know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." We have faith that Christ died on the cross and rose for us, and that God sent his Son to shed his blood so that we can have that forgiveness and we can have that place in heaven that Jesus went to prepare for us. That's what grace is all about. And through grace, we get that salvation. Ephesians continues, "And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Boy, we like to boast, don't we? That's one of the things that we as human beings probably do best, second only to sinning. We like to boast, but we can't boast because we didn't do it. We haven't shed our own blood for our sins. Christ did that so that we can have eternal life and we can have that place in heaven. And we can know that's true. Because 1 John 3:16, if I say John 3:16, you go somewhere else. But 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for him." What a powerful statement. Not only of what he has done for us, but what we should be willing to do for him. We should be willing to put ourselves in a position of being uncomfortable in order to do his will and to spread his word and to love his people, because everyone on the planet is made in his image. You know, and some of you have known me most of my life. I don't like people. I'm not a sociable guy, but through the grace of God, I'm friends with everybody in this room. And I'm standing up here spreading God's gospel and giving you God's gospel and reminding you of God's gospel if you already know it. You know, and only God could do that. It's amazing to me. You know, this morning, this is the house of God, and his hedge of protection is around you this morning. I guarantee it. Sorry, I'm going to cry again. You know, I'm not good at this, but God gives me what I need, just like he gives each and every one of us what we need. And the biggest thing that we need is that gift of eternal life. And God gave that to us through his grace. You know, we can talk about justice all we want, and we can talk about mercy all we want, but it's that grace that God gave us through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that we need to be so thankful for. And we need to show that grace to everyone around us. And it touched me that Tammy said, "We're going to sing Amazing Grace," because that's really what this whole message is about, is God's grace. You know, I'm not going to go much longer here. It's almost 8:30. But you know what I hadn't planned to do this. What I would really like to hear is, can we all recite John 3:16 together? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Amen. You know, that "whoever" is so important. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us that God wants no one to perish. He wants that all should come to him and have eternal life. You know, it's a choice that they have to make, but he wants that all should perish. He loves every single one of us. Even if we don't like them, he loves them because he created them in his image. And he wants them to come to him, that none should perish. You know, I think I know pretty much everybody in this room, but, you know, if you haven't accepted that gift and you don't know for sure where you're going to go, if you walked out the door this morning and got hit by a bus and you don't know exactly where you'd go, I would love to spend some time to talk to you. So, you know, I just want to thank God that he brought all of you here this morning and that he allowed me to present the gospel. And if you have any questions, I will give my feeble attempts to answer them. But You know, I'm just going to pray and then give the mic back to Tammy. Precious Father, your word is so amazing. Father, when I came in this room this morning, I saw you consecrate this room as your house. And I saw you put a hedge of protection around every person that was going to come in this room and hear your word this morning. Father, and I know that only through you could I have the ability to spread your gospel and give your word. And only through you, in the same manner, can we have eternal life and can we know that we have eternal life. So, Father, as we do our elections this morning and we gather as a group and we meet together, help us to remember those things. And help us to show the same grace that you give us in the gift of eternal life to those that we deal with today. In everything we do and everything we say, just help us to express your love and your grace. You know, the Apostle Paul said that we need to be imitators of Christ. And in everything we do, people should see the life of Christ in us. Father, it was asked me one time if I was to stand before the courts and be accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? And Father, I certainly hope so. If there's not, give me the power to rectify that. Father, be with each and every person in this room this morning. And Father, by some miracle, touch the lives of those that didn't come down here this morning. And bless every true preacher of the gospel this morning as he gathers with his flock, that your word be spread worldwide. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
And now I just want to give, if there's someone who wants to share a little bit, you know, God graces us every day. Every day he gives us grace and he gives us blessings. And I just want to share in my life just a quick testimony. And if anyone else would like to share a little testimony, just a short one, we'll end here in about 10 minutes. But I was a person who wasn't supposed to have children at all. And the Lord allowed Chris and I to adopt a beautiful son, just out of the blue. It just happened so fast. We didn't know what to do. And then shortly thereafter, even though I wasn't supposed to be able to have children, we did. I gave birth to our daughter. And so the Lord has really blessed our family with those children and, you know, now a grandchild. And it just amazes me the work that God can do in our lives. Anybody else have a testimony they'd like to share? Just a short one. Who's that?
Barb,
where are you? Keep talking.
Reach out.
All right. Okay. I guess what I'm going to say is kind of on the same thing as Tammy. I spent many years fostering children for probably about 12 years. That I had actually raised four girls from 12 to 18. And while it was a challenge, I absolutely loved it. And I was blessed that God allowed me to do that. When I was done with girls, they offered me a little boy. And he was a broken little boy. His parents did a number on him. But I took him. And I'm very blessed now to say that he has graduated from high school. He's got a job. He has his own vehicle, and he works. And he's in college. I don't know if I said that. I'm blessed to have the family that I've made within the blind community. Before Brian actually went blind, we didn't have a lot of friends, and now we're just truly blessed all around. God is good.
Amen. Another one. I hear somebody. Who was it? Lee? Where are you, Lee? I hear you. Speak again. My brain is not working well this morning. Okay. Here you go. It's a strong mic.
So okay, thank you. Paying homage to God, too. Barb, you and Tammy kind of reminded me a trail of my life. I was abandoned and adopted at the age of four, along with a brother of mine, and we were adopted by seniors at that time. And through God's mercy and graciousness, we became young men. His graciousness and mercy has been over my life. I went to Vietnam, and I came back, and just listening to the gentleman yesterday and so many other veterans that I know and have seen, just for me to lose my sight, that's just a drop in the bucket. And to move forth and come into the blind community and learning blindness and accepting blindness, and to meet so many of you, I'm just like you, Phil Barb. If I hadn't lost my sight, I wouldn't have met so many good people, such as the people that I meet here today and in our federation throughout the country. So this is my story, and I'm just thankful to God for all of that.
Amen. Got one more over here, and then we're done. Here you go, Susan. I know. I heard you. Here you go, honey.
You know, I'm thankful today for God's loving kindness and his grace and mercy. I don't have a big testimony of like I was into drugs or I, you know, none of that stuff, but I'm just thankful. I mean, I did evil things as a child. The Lord came into my life and made big changes, but I am thankful for all the things that he kept me from and all the times that his holy angels have kept me from harm and also from doing things that I would regret later. And I'm thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. I'm thankful that he loved us so much that he became one of us. And that he healed our humanity by his humanity, his glorified humanity, which he brought into the Godhead. And we have a man in heaven who pleads for us all the time.
Thank you. Okay, well, let's close the service with one song. And then, is Enrique here? Is Enrique? Okay, well, Enrique, when we finish, Amazing Grace, could you pray us out? Okay. All right, everybody, sing, please. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm Brother Enrique, where are you?
Dear Father God, we just thank you, dear God, for having blessed us this morning, dear God. giving us the opportunity, Father, to come together, dear God, and just worship and honor your name, dear God, and in unity, dear Father, as you has commanded us to do, dear Lord. We just ask you, dear Father, that as we continue on this day, dear Father, that we do not forget you, dear God, that you continue to be in our presence, dear Father, that you continue to touch each and every one of us as we go into discussions this morning, dear Father, and that we bring to each other the understanding and the clarity and the complete devotion to have you at our side with every breath we take each and every day. And as we leave this place today and we go on to our homes, that we do not leave you behind, dear God. For we do know and we do understand that you has given all for us, and may we in turn dedicate ourselves to give it all back to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.